What up, fam? It's Alan Thomas, your Nubian scribe. I got two words for you. I'm back and live with historical truths. I know that was seven words, but two of them are very relevant, especially in today's climate. What climate? The one in Florida and elsewhere that's trying to erase the ugly truths about the history of Western society. If you are a regular listener of this podcast, then you know what I affectionately call individuals who benefited from and who are descendants of those who engage in the slave trade. That's right. I refer to them as Euros. It's not a derogatory term, by no means, because Euro is short for European. And since they came from the continent of Europe, at least that's what we were taught in school, they are Euro, in short, for Europeans. So fam, as we were also taught in school, Euros traveled to distant lands such as Australia, South America, and most notably, North America, and took lands, they discovered lands for their king and country, until they didn't. Remember the Boston Tea Party and the year 1776? That's what I mean by until they didn't. What wasn't written in our history books was the answer to this simple and fundamental question. How can something be discovered? Yeah, you know, if it has been and always been in plain sight, such as Aboriginal people, as they are referred to in Australia, or the First Nation people, as they are referred to in Canada, and the Native Americans, as they are referred to in the United States. All were not brought to those lands, like our ancestors from the continent of Africa. They were already living on those lands, and by most historical accounts, own the land that their feet were touching. And they were also living their best lives. Remember the Trails of Tears? That's what I meant by until they weren't. If you were to ask the descendants of those people if they received hood justice or equal justice, since befriending the Euros, they will most likely respond by saying they got hood justice because their ancestors got elfed out of their hood and were royally elfed by the mob sent there by their monarch. Oops. There I go again. History washers would prefer that I refer to the mob as explorers of new lands. Despite that fact, they didn't destroy the people who inhabited those original lands. They destroyed their lands. They pillaged their lands. And they raped their women and killed their men. They didn't destroy their spirit because those Native Americans fought like hell to keep what they were divinely given. So, although the mob mentality are often referred to and associated with our hood, communities outside of our hood are no different in nature or structure. Each tend to understand the people who live in them better than those who live outside of them. They also tend to base their views of the world from the vantage point of their individual hood or communities, and from the local experiences in their hood. What's striking about our hood and those of the Euros is this. Both insist that their rules and societal norms be strictly adhered to. Otherwise, the balance of power becomes off-center, something that history has documented to be firmly supported by the facts. Take the Euros coming to those new lands. They were initially welcomed by its original inhabitants, but subsequently began to apply their own rules and societal norms upon those original inhabitants, which led to hood justice. Hood justice has its own flavor and idiosyncrasies. What is hood justice? Simply put, it's the formal and informal law of the community in which it's applied to. Much like those we find in prisons the world over. For example, take our community. Not that it's a prison, because it's not. Snitches is supposed to get stitches, allegedly. And in non-black and brown communities, complaints or letters, that'll get your counsel to fire. While prisons, being an accused or convicted child abuser, that'll get you iced. And I'm not talking about cold beverages, allegedly. Which explains why the Euros treated the original property owners of those distant lands that they traveled on and discovered, allegedly, treated them with such indifference. They saw them as less than rather than as equals, which is exhibited, unfortunately, today. A large portion of Native Americans are housed on reservations, while a significant portion of Euros are living in conditions far better than the inhabitants living on those reservations. Fam, I got a question. Why doesn't today's criminal justice system ensure that those before it are judged by those from their own hood? You're supposed to be judged by your peers, but I don't see that. Do you? Where the accused are not deemed less than, but as equal members of his or her community. Now, it's a roll of the dice. If you're going to get someone who's going to be viewing you as their equal, who just happens to be accused of something, but just because you're accused or arrested doesn't mean you did the crime. So, there is empirical data that clearly demonstrates people from other communities tend to judge those who are outside of their communities more harshly. So, does that mean outsiders are practicing hood justice as opposed to dispensing equal justice? Before I answer that question, and I will, I'm going to ask you to follow me on Instagram at Nubian_scribe, S-E-R-I-B-E. The more followers, the more listeners. And most importantly, the more of our family will hear and learn our truths, which are not being taught in schools. You feel me? I also encourage you to purchase a t-shirt, hat, or mug that has my logo on it. It's a very nice logo. I have to say so myself. I have t-shirts myself, mugs myself. If I don't support myself, I can't ask you to support me. You feel me? So doing so will help support this podcast. You can find a link to all of that on my Instagram profile. It will take you to my YouTube page, which will outline the books that I have written and the link to my online store. Now, back to this episode, which is entitled, Is Hood Justice Equal Justice? Well, as I said, I will answer that question. Now, for me, each time that I see a member of our family being judged by those outside of our family, I wonder, sometimes out loud, is that jury going to judge fam based upon the societal norms in his or her hood, or based upon their local experiences in their hood, as opposed to the law that's before them? It's a fair question to ask, particularly, again, in today's climate. When you have states such as Florida teaching their young slavery wasn't all that bad, how can anyone and the humane race contend that people who were in bondage, who were whipped for any reason, starved and raped by their captors, and forced to work two-thirds of the day in horrific conditions, got some type of benefit from their tragic and horrific conditions. They can't be loving people otherwise. They will be okay with their family getting those same benefits under the same horrid conditions of slavery. Hell, I pay money to see that firsthand, as well as most of you who are listening. They say experience is the best teacher. Well, I say let's get them educated. I'm just keeping it 100. And quickly too, so they can stop mandating such nonsense be taught in these schools. If not, those outside of our community who sit on juries and see us and will see us as complaining, unappreciative ingrates who got more out of slavery than the Euros, and which is totally implausible, impossible, and frankly, sick as hell. So, who got more out of slavery than the Euros can't be counted on to judge family equally if that question is asked internally inside their heads. So if they're growing up hearing this garbage, they will grow up to be human beings, grown adults who sit on juries to judge those who they think are complaining, unappreciative ingrates who got more out of slavery than the Euros did. We can't have that. Consider how the Native Americans and other Aboriginal people were treated as a result of hood justice at the hands of the Euros. I have some questions for those state legislators who enacted laws or are planning to enact laws that mandate the teaching of slavery was not a bad practice, and that those who were bound, tortured, and killed while enslaved received a benefit as a result of their involuntary bondage. So here's my first question. Does a trafficked woman who was forced into prostitution gain a trade while unwillingly having sex? What benefit does she obtain, legislators, from her horrific experiences? Question number two. How does an undocumented immigrant who was lured to work on a farm for high wages but paid far less benefit from being forced to work under the threat of deportation or physical abuse with no money to escape his or her captor? And my final question, do children who are being intentionally separated from their parents in Ukraine and taken across the border gain a benefit from their horrific experiences? Please, I want to know. And more importantly, what do the parents of those children gain while their children are being held captive and God knows what happened to them? Please, tell me. Now, in closing, can any one of those people in either one of those three scenarios fairly judge those from communities who treated them as less than or worse? Equal justice demands that those outside of one's hood be judged by those in a community which they came from, albeit ethnically, socially, or economic. That way, any potential for bias can be minimized to the fullest extent possible, as per the law of the land and not the law of the hood. One love.